That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 169 of That Great Business Show, home of great business tips, insights, and opportunities on every episode, delivered in our commute-friendly package, and all thanks to daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. If you're looking for your first home or looking to upsize or downsize your abode, make sure you visit daft.ie to find that next place you can call home. I'm Conal Moran, Foltister. On this episode, we bring you the powerhouse female entrepreneur of the year, and some powerhouse she is. And from Connecticut, USA, we have the founder and CEO at the Women's Business Development Council with some great insights about women in business in the US, including we'll hear that up until a couple of decades ago, a woman had to have a male co-signee if she wanted to borrow money. Honestly, it's true. Now, I didn't know that. We'll also hear why a lack of financial software is holding back women entrepreneurs there. And that's all part of our Beachhead USA mini-series, the ultimate crib sheet to setting up your business in the US, essential listening for anyone in business heading stateside.
If it's for sale, it's on daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Whether you're looking for your first home or planning your next move, make sure you're on daft.ie, the best place to buy or sell in Ireland.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
Now, what do you do when you're busy in business and another business opportunity pops up? Well, you go for it, of course. And if a third one happens along, well, you have to go for that as well. And that is the potted history of my first guest, who I met recently when I was doing some work with the Carlow Local Enterprise Office, the Leo down there. Keira Stanley is this year's Powerhouse Female Entrepreneur of the Year. And that is because she's boss at embroidery business Ardatan Embroidery. She's also the boss at Ballybar Ireland, her own clothing line. And she's the boss at her farm shop, Coppina House Farm. Busy? Or what? Keira Stanley, welcome to That Great Business Show.
And thank you very much for having me.
And I love the backstory. Let's go straight into it. You set up business when you were working for somebody else.
I did. So I worked for a pharmaceutical distribution company in Dublin, United Drug. And it was during that time I decided to purchase my first embroidery machine. Kind of came from a niche that I seen for kind of small companies looking at purchasing embroidered workwear in small quantities, and a business opportunity came along. I hummed and hawed and I let it go. And I suppose it kind of just didn't sit right with me at the time that I was, you know, but I missed out. And I went on good old done deal, found a secondhand machine, and the rest is history, as they say.
You say the rest is history, but there is a full size business behind it. But before we get into the full size version of it, where or how did you spot the opportunity?
So Robert, my husband, was purchasing clothing, and the girl that he was buying the embroidered stock off of had been talking about selling her business. So he had said to me, why would you look at that, something like that? Because I just finished college, I guess, as well. And it was at that good time of 2009 where a young marketing student, and there wasn't very much opportunity. So I said, God, I don't know if that's for me. Would I be able for it? And I just let it slip. So I let it slip, but it was still in my mind, maybe I could do it. So I suppose you're faced with the edge of the sword. I had very little money, and I had a few bob saved up. And I said, you know what? Let's do it. So I bought this machine.
Are they expensive?
A brand new one, yeah, it's quite expensive. You're probably looking just short of 10 grand.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. So they are chunky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to make sure you're serious about it.
Serious, so, yes. But what about customers? Where did you find your first customers?
Well, I suppose everyone in my family and friends got lovely towels embroidered with names for a long time. And,
but you had to get paid. Did they pay for this?
No, of course they didn't. I suppose I'm quite lucky in where I live, and Robert's family have a hardware shop in Tullow. So we'd have, I won't say lots of people in business that we know, but I'd know a good few people. So I went up and cheekily just said, do you want me to do some polo shirts or hats? And yeah, just went from there. I remember actually spending a couple of weekends going through Golden Pages, ringing people in Tullow and Carlow and just chancing my arm, as they say. And
the Golden Pages.
I
now
know.
That brings me back. Does that exist anymore?
I don't think so.
And we're only talking about 2009. Yeah. We're not talking about the last century.
No. But yeah, I did. I looked and I rang people and I knocked on doors and I did fairs. I did Christmas fairs, craft fairs, did, you know, local, if there was something going on in the local GA, I'd rock up at my embroidery machine and the whole family would be with me carrying bits in. And, you know, it was a bit of a family affair for a good while, all right.
You are a real entrepreneur, though. You've got the itch, you've got the bug.
Yeah, well, my parents have often quoted that I did at one stage bag apples, fallen apples from the garden at home and walked around Ardatton wondering would anybody buy them from me. So I guess there's something there from an early age, yeah.
And from now, you are now distributing your embroidery right around Ireland.
Yep.
And abroad.
Yeah, so I have done some work abroad. I suppose Ballybar has probably played into that.
We'll get onto Ballybar because that's your clothing line, of which I never had heard until I met with you some weeks ago.
Yeah, so we have done work with that. And then people from finding me from social media, from Facebook and Instagram. And
what's
from recommend Instagram. Yeah, definitely Instagram. But then there's certain groups because of where I live and I suppose my friends and what we're interested in. The agricultural sector is probably a big chunk of my business, if not the majority of it. So different groups that maybe people would be mentioning me in, I have got work abroad from that. So from the UK, I've sent stuff to Brussels, to Belgium, to Germany, thinking off the top of my head of jackets with, you know, people's personal tractors or logos or whatever it is they like on their bits and pieces.
What's the most curious or weird stuff that you've ever had to do?
I won't say weird stuff, but people like their machinery. So, you know, you get a picture of this particular tractor and it would have to be, you know, a certain way and a certain, you know, colours would have to be used.
So if it's a John Deere tractor, it has to be in the John Deere colours, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the person's own?
Oh, yeah. Okay. They'd take it on their phone and send it to me and I'd work on it. Now, I was asked a couple of years ago for an embroidered, it was a lorry that they had, a truck, and there was a certain colour within the cab of it and I had to replicate this and it was next to impossible, but I got it done. So I was very happy with that. So all sorts of requests.
As Ava says, or used to say anyway, we try hard.
Yeah.
And then we go to Ballybar.
Yeah, so Ballybar came about, I was actually through the embroidery as well. I was contacted about in 2020 by a girl called Claire Power, an Australian girl who moved to Carlow for love. And she was the founder of Ballybar. So it's a clothing and lifestyle brand, primarily work shirts, so cotton work shirts that can be used out in the farm, equestrian, you know, something that's living and breathable, very movable kind of a shirt. And she had been approached by vets and different companies who wanted to purchase the shirts, but also wanted their logo embroidered onto it. So we formed a partnership and we got on very, very well with it. And it was last October, so 2022, Claire approached me to see would I be interested in taking full hold of the business. So I bought the business then in November of last year.
And what happened next?
Well, so I
just explain maybe a bit more about Ballybar itself. Are you manufacturing in Ireland or abroad?
Bit of both. Our shirts are manufactured abroad. Obviously, we'd love to do more in Ireland. So we have merino neck gaiters, which are...
Which she is wearing.
Which I'm wearing, yes. The merino is, I bring that in from New Zealand, but I have it manufactured in Carlow.
Oh, good for you.
And then we also have a tote bag, which we use from unused upholstery material, and that's also made in Carlow. So what we can, we do make as close to home as possible.
Fantastic. And the Ballybar brand is selling internationally, big time.
Yes, yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So we have customers in America and Canada, all over Europe.
And how are they hearing about you?
Mostly through online, through our website. So
no Golden Pages this time.
No Golden Pages this time. But we do take part in the RDS, the horse show. So we have met an awful lot of international customers through the horse show. And they've come back to us with their lists. You know, last year we had girls coming over with their lists and getting all their shirts and bringing them back and But yeah, definitely from social media, our website, and then also partaking in.
Bruce Springsteen goes to the horse show.
Yeah.
His daughter,
yeah, yeah.
You haven't met him yet, no?
Not yet.
But you're doing stuff with the E Street Band.
You never know.
That could actually be a breakout moment for the business, yeah.
Bruce, if you're listening.
And of course he's listening. What is the vision for Ballybar?
The vision at the moment, it's really about my concentration now is building the brand and is getting as many people to know about us as possible. We are looking at other products, but my focus at the moment is to build that brand. We've really, really good foundations, so I want to just continue to build those blocks and get it as well known as possible. Possibly looking at into supplying retailers. I did do a kind of a mission with the local enterprise office to Glasgow.
I saw this.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard about this. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant initiative by the local enterprise office. And I actually didn't, it wasn't something that was on my radar till I kind of had a chat with the guys in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's...
That's the lovely lady, Melissa.
Melissa, yeah. We all love Melissa.
And but that's very enterprising of the local enterprise office to spot Scotland. I wonder why they chose Scotland particularly.
They look at different markets every year. And they had been in Liverpool before and they had been in, I think it was Brussels as well, and Glasgow. It was either Glasgow or Edinburgh. It just so happened they chose Edinburgh because of the group of people. It just seemed the more centrally located space for everyone's meetings and that. So,
and you got business out of that?
Yeah, we have. We've contacts over there, so we're currently, you know, back and forth with them, and so hopefully that will lead to a stock us over there.
If Ballybar is, we call it a niche product at the moment. If you go big, which I think you're hoping to do, that takes on a whole new dynamic, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So
do
we have to be.
Do you worry about that or do you dream of that?
No, I don't worry about it. I just dream, yes. But then I have to be kind of sensible about what's realistic as well. So, yeah, we'll grow. Obviously, the dream, I think, of any business is to grow, but grow successfully, not to jump too far ahead. And I think the fact that we have, you know, with the embroidery in the shop and Ballybar is to be able to maintain it as well. So,
because that neatly brings me to the shop. Because the shop started off small and you've also grown that.
Yes.
It is, as I mentioned, Coppenagh House Farm.
Yeah, so that started as a cardboard box. So we had, well, my husband, as I said, his family have the hardware shop in Tullow and they also have a farm then quite close to their home place. So Robert's dream, I guess, was always to farm. And we have a suckler herd, so we're beef farmers. And we had looked at perhaps niching a little bit because we were producing quite good high-end quality beef. And we had looked at maybe supplying restaurants and that kind of thing, but that didn't suit us as a scalability. So we looked at beef boxes. And I suppose the timing of COVID landed quite well at all these ideas. So we sold our first animal, sold out our second, third, and we thought, okay, maybe we are onto something. So our farm hosts the Tullow Agricultural Show every year, and we decided
because you're not busy doing other things.
No.
Of course.
Well, in fairness, all as we Robert and his family kindly donate the showgrounds to the committee, so there's a very, very good committee there that put on a very good show every year. So last August we decided to open a small farm shop because we found people were very, very interested in our story. They were very interested in knowing where their food was coming from, but they also wanted more. Not only did they want to know where it was coming from, they wanted to see where it was coming from. So we were in a really, really good position that we could do that. So we opened a small shop, kind of like, oh, are we doing the right thing? We were really, it was very, very nerve-wracking. Of all the things that we've done, this was definitely the most nervous, but it was a great success. And Christmas last year, I guess with the embroidery getting so busy and Ballybar, this was all been done out of a spare room in our house. So it was thankfully outgrowing the space. So we decided then the shop was the roof for everything. So we put everything under the one roof, expanded the shop. We have a dedicated space up there for the embroidery and for Ballybar. So we have a good area to, you know, to pack up all our orders. And then we added a coffee box as well, cows and coffee. So,
and I know the milk is Irish, but your coffee is hardly Irish, is it?
No, our coffee, we buy our coffee from Moy Coffee in Dublin. So it's actually a fair farm coffee, so they deal directly with the farmer. So we're trying to keep it as...
All very ethical.
Yes, yeah.
And go back to this, because this must tickle the interest of anybody with any connections with meat or beef. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, it's not a problem to ship it around the place, or are you shipping it now, or is it just people coming to the door?
It's just people coming to the door at the moment.
Did you ever consider shipping it?
Well, that's the plan for next year.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm going to look at for next year more of an e-commerce shop for the farm shop, because we actually have found a real interest, even in merchandise for the shop. We shipped an order off to America with Coppna House Farm hats and aprons and things over to America.
This is too random. Yeah. Where did they find this?
Online, on Instagram.
But
yeah.
I mean, we love every customer, but who would be buying Coppna Farmhouse?
I don't know.
House Farm.
Yeah.
House Farm.
Yeah, it's mad. Okay. But it's great.
Keep it going. Now, back to the shipping the beef. Because I've often wondered if it were easy that a lot of farmers could do it. Because first of all, there's a problem with butchering. Isn't that right?
So we're actually really, really lucky in Tullow. We have our butcher, from the time our animal leaves the farm to the time it's back, it's about a mile in food miles. So we have a butcher who's able to, you know, he processes the whole animal. We bring it down to him and he looks after that.
The beast walks out but comes back in a box, does it?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. We're trying to be delicate here. So... you have obviously been doing your research about shipping in chilled, or do you backpack, or
everything is blast frozen. We do have a little bit of homework to do on that next year now to see if we can. It will be within Ireland. It won't be shipped abroad or anything like that. It will be within Ireland. We have an appetite for it. You know, there is people travelling for it, because the beef that we sell is Wagyu beef.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a Wagyu cross. Yeah. It's crossed with a Friesian, so it's crossed with the National Dairy Herd Friesian. We buy the calves in, they're reared calves, and we keep them for about 2 years. So that's what we're using.
And it'll be blast frozen, so presumably you are looking for a distributor with a chilled van or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody who can... like guarantee that, you know, it'll be delivered within times frame as well.
And is that aimed at the commercial market, or is it
domestic? Yeah, because of the size of our farm, selling commercially is too much of a scale. We'd have to scale up too much, and then we lose what we started off as doing. We don't want to go down that route, because to sell commercially, they're going to be looking for steaks and burgers, and there's a lot more off beef off than steaks and burgers. So that's why we'll go down the domestic route.
The dreaming, the thinking never stops, does it?
No.
So what else have you got in the pipeline or being dreamt about?
Well, at the moment, I suppose myself and Robert, my husband, were only talking about this. We rarely talk about anything else at the moment, because it's busy season as well for the two of us coming up to Christmas. We really, really want, as I said, we've really good foundations, and it's to make sure that we manage those and do everything as, you know, as good as we can, and to keep the quality always 100%. It's a thing that we're both known for, is good quality, whether it's embroidery or if it's Robert, he services Aga Cookers. So if it's that, you know, so it's to make sure that everything we do.
On top of everything else, he's servicing Aga Cookers.
Yeah, all across the country.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We're busy people.
You sound extraordinarily busy. And in terms of the bigger vision, though, how many people are you employing now?
So we have two full time and we have three part time. The vision is hopefully next year we'll be able to take on another full time person, because we can't manage everything.
Of course.
We have...
unfortunately, you have to pay for that person,
yes,
of course.
That just... yeah. But look, we're in a really good position that we can even think about that. To be honest, I didn't think we'd have part-time, you know, three part-time people this time last year. It's brilliant.
And people like you are the backbone of this country, you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no question.
No.
People like you who just do brilliant stuff and do it well. That is why, and I have to go back to this, the Powerhouse Female Entrepreneur of the Year. Mm. Who or what is Powerhouse?
So Powerhouse is the Carlo Enterprise Office. It's their Women in Business Network.
Okay.
So I left full-time employment last March, and in April I walked into my first Powerhouse meeting, and it was their first meeting, and I haven't left since. It's a brilliant network. They started off quite small, but it's grown and it's grown and it's grown, and it's a powerhouse, no other word about it, and the women involved in it are extraordinary.
And you've also done, if I'm right, the Acorn course, have you?
Yeah, so I'm actually a participant in Acorns. Yeah, with Paula. I'm a participant in Acorns 9, so it's the current Acorns. So,
and is that good?
Absolutely brilliant.
Good.
Oh, it's brilliant.
That's our friend Paula Fitzsimons.
Yeah. Oh my God.
What are you learning from that?
Well, actually, one of the first things I came away from it, and it was something Paula said.
You're not busy enough.
It's not, this is not a hobby. And you need to start taking yourself seriously. And you are in business and you are a businesswoman. From the minute I walked out the door, it was like my head was immediately higher. You know, not in a overly cocky way. It was more like, no, I am doing this. It's not a hobby. I do need to put food on the table and pay for a mortgage. So guess what? I'm here to take over.
Fantastic. Final question, as we always do. Who would Keira Stanley hire in a heartbeat? Mm-hmm.
I actually found this quite difficult because I was toying with kind of two people in mind.
You're allowed to. We'll give you two.
So if anybody who knows myself and Robert, we've been kind of given a nickname around home. If anybody's heard of Jeremy Clarkson's farm, Robert Wood has a nickname now going around that he's the new Jeremy Clarkson. So I said, well, instead of Jeremy, I go for one better. I go for Jeremy's partner, Lisa. I think she's unbelievable. And I'd say she's the reason why the farm is doing well. And I love her ideas. And I'd love to talk to her to see what their challenges are, because he's highlighted so many challenges around agriculture.
And he's put up his shop.
Yes, yeah.
And it seems to be a roaring success. Now, he does have the benefit of having a zillion followers.
Well, that's. But so I'd love to have Lisa's knowledge and that. But I think Una O'Hagan.
We've had Una on.
Yes, yeah. And I just think what she's done for the Mars Group is just
She's
phenomenal.
Bought another one.
Yeah.
Just bought another one because she wasn't busy enough for the other nine or whatever.
I think from building a brand and awareness, just... I'd love to just chat with her and see what...
She is available because she is a mentor with Paula Fitzsimons on some of her programs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Going for Growth, I think.
Going for Growth, yeah.
Yeah. She'll take the phone call.
Hopefully,
she's such a nice person.
Yeah.
And as I often say about people in business, they're there to help. They love helping, so long as you're not eating their lunch. So
no.
I don't think you're going to go into pharmacy, are you?
No. I was there before. I was there before. No, I'm okay where I am. Yeah. So Lisa, I'd love to even do something with Lisa, even with Ballybar, a little collaboration or something. I think
there's
a good fit. Yeah. And Lisa's an Irish girl as well. So you never know.
Good. Keira Stanley, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Are you buying or selling a home? If it's for sale, it's on daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
In Ireland, we used to believe the US was so much more progressive than us. But listen to this. Up until 1988, women couldn't take out a commercial loan without getting a male co-signee. Now, when I heard that, it really took me back to what we'll call old Ireland. Ireland, we know, has come a long way, and as part of our Beachhead USA mini-series, we felt it was important for anybody coming over to the States to do business that they would understand the business background. The Women's Business Development Council founder is a woman called Fran Pastore. She's also the CEO, and she's in studio with me now.
because I've just had the most fascinating chat with Fran about the history of how she, her organization, and some others have helped women empower them to get into business and to succeed in business, which is, as everybody knows within the That Great Business Show, is what we want to do. Fran Pastore, I love this part, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you so much, Connell, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
What a history of empowerment that you have managed to give and your colleagues. And it's a nationwide organization, this whole women empowerment movement in business.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're based here in Connecticut, but we do have colleagues around the country that do the same exact work that we do. Yes.
And rather than going into the minutiae of, you know, what's available to women businesses here, because they probably would not apply to women-led Irish businesses who would come to the USA, I was very, very interested in some of the experiences that you have found. The most important or most interesting one was, for me, that there was this thing about filling out your application forms. That is so telling as what you found out. Tell me some of the findings of that exercise.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for asking, because it is really phenomenal. So we have this grant program here, and we find that with the application process, there could be maybe 500 started applications, and only a third of those are actually completed. And so what we look at is, where did people get stuck? What stopped them from filling out the entire application? There are a number of things. And I think I shared when we spoke earlier that the biggest obstacle is a lack of financial software.
Isn't that amazing? It is so simple. When you said it, I went, I had an aha moment.
Yeah, because part of the application process when you're going for any capital is you have to provide financial statements, you have to provide projections, and you need your software to help you do that. The numbers tell the story, right? So what we found is that is one of the biggest obstacles to getting folks to complete our grant applications, because it is a requirement. We are not going to provide the funding if you don't have the software. And so our team spends a lot of time working with folks to help them get to understand why financial software is so, so important.
And financial software, as we know, is not that expensive anymore. But there is pushback. Some of your would-be clients feel that it's not for them.
Right. There is a lot of sole proprietors, a lot of single-member LLCs, are so, so, so passionate about their business. You know, whether it's a hair salon or an interior designer, you know, they don't really see the need. And so our job is to help elevate them so that they can elevate their business and understand and articulate their business to potential investors and others when seeking capital to grow their business. And that's a big, big part of what we do.
And besides taking out a big stick and telling them that they have to do it, how do you convince them?
Well, you know, what we're showing them is, this is how you grow your business. This is how you scale your business. This is how you sustain your business. You cannot use a cigar box or an Excel spreadsheet forever. And in the case of some businesses, not having the proper financial software is really going to eventually catch up with you, whether it's for tax purposes, confidentiality purposes. And, you know, we see all the time that when we spend the time coaching and advising people as to the pitfalls of not using modern technology to scale their business, eventually reality kicks in before it bites. And that's really our goal.
Is it, I don't even want to ask this question, I might get beaten up, is that peculiar to women-led businesses that there is this pushback on software? Hardly.
I think it's a confidence issue.
But is it peculiar about not wishing to take on the financial software? I mean, is it a gender thing? No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I think it's, you know, more, single member LLCs, sole proprietors. They don't see the need because oftentimes they don't even think of themselves as a business.
How often have I had that conversation? As you say, somebody cutting hair.
Yes.
That person is an entrepreneur.
Exactly. And having those conversations is a very big part of what we do. You know, a lot of women, especially in some female-focused businesses, really don't enter that business thinking that they're going to make money. And an example, the first example that comes to mind is an early childhood provider, right? A child care provider. They are entering that business because not because they think they're going to make a lot of money. They are doing it from a place of passion, and they want to help members of their family, members of their community. So they are especially not thinking about financial software as a necessity. So do I think it's gender-based? No. I think it's that it's these single-member LLCs and sole proprietors or individual businesses that don't really see themselves as an entrepreneur. And that's also part of what we bring to the table.
Now, we on That Great Business Show adore those early stage entrepreneurs. Yes. They are my absolute passion. And I love that passion of theirs. However, you have found something very interesting about them as well, is that maybe they're overly enthusiastic, in the, particularly in the way that they pitch their business.
Yes, yes. So, you know, with early stage entrepreneurs, like all entrepreneurs, they are so excited and so passionate about their business. I know I was. And sometimes our passion about our business precludes us from talking about the business itself. And when I'm talking about that, I mean about the numbers. What story do the numbers tell about my business? How can I scale this business? And one of the things that we spend a lot of time on with our clients, who are 99% women, is helping to not quell that passion and that excitement.
Don't ever do that.
Never do that.
I would hate you if you did that.
Never do that. But help them transfer that excitement and that passion into the story about their numbers. So that, again, it brings us back to sustainability and scaling. When you can talk about your numbers and relate those numbers and join or marry those numbers, if you will, with your passion, that's what investors want to hear. That's what lenders want to hear. And that's how to access capital to scale your business.
And it's not that difficult, because these are small businesses and one and one equals two most of the time.
Exactly. But I think oftentimes, especially with women, it's having the confidence to be able to be comfortable with those numbers, with telling the story around your numbers. And so, you know, again, one of the things that we do and one of the reasons that so many of our clients are successful is that they are coming to us in this female-focused environment where the confidence, the barriers to accepting the help are minimized and reduced. And they get the help that they need, the coaching that they want, and we help them move on from the passion to having the same passion around their numbers so that they can get the help that they need in the way of capital.
What would you say if I told you to funk off? And I have to be very careful. It's F-U-N-K.
F-U-N-K-K.
Even better.
O-F-F.
O-F-F.
Two Fs, two Ks.
Tell the story. It's a great story. I don't think anybody in Ireland has heard it. Just a bit of context is, in Ireland, we have Dragon's Den. Here you have Shark Tank.
Yes, yes. So one of our clients, Sonia Hounsell, who is now a board member of our organization, her and her childhood friend had a concept for a toothbrush and toothpaste in a lipstick size container. And Sonia came to us here at the Women's Business Development Council to get help on pitching before she actually went on Shark Tank to seek funding. And long story short, as she was walking off the stage at Shark Tank, where she was denied funding, nobody took the bait of the investors. As she was walking off the stage, after she made her pitch, Robert called her back and said, "My wife will kill me if I go home and didn't without funding this business. This is a great idea." And she credits the help that she received from us in pitching her idea, articulating her numbers. This is a woman who has decades of experience in the financial industry, but the confidence around articulating the numbers and making the pitch is what so many people need, so many women need. It's that confidence piece.
And to complete the funk off story, what a success.
Yes.
Tell me.
She is all over the globe. Funk off is all over the globe. And she credits, of course, Shark Tank, Robert, on Shark Tank for helping her make that happen. She's on Amazon. She is in all the big box stores. And really right now, the sky's the limit. And it's a fantastic product. It's the size of a lipstick tube, has a little mirror on the end of the lipstick tube. You twist it, the toothpaste comes up through the brushes, and you put it away in your purse.
Why did she think of this great idea?
Well, her partner, her business partner who lives in California, was touring the wine country in California. And every time she went to look in the mirror after sampling some wine at a wine tasting, she said, wow, my teeth look like they're stained pink. So I have to come up with a solution to this problem. I believe they worked on this concept for 6 years.
Get away.
6 years.
You didn't tell me that part.
Developing a prototype. Conducting focus groups. Yes, yes. So we're just so excited for them. It's a great product. It's everywhere. I love it. Keep it in my purse all the time. And, you know, just think about it. It's just a simple, simple concept. But the fact that it's all in one, right? Everything's the toothpaste, the toothbrush. It's all in one. 30 uses out of every container.
You've sold it very well. The Funkoff people want to come on to That Great Business Show, send them our way.
Oh, they will love it. I'll make sure they do.
And then, which neatly brings us over to enthusiasm for product over enthusiasm for your business. Mm. Discuss.
Well, I am guilty of that. I'm over-enthusiastic about the work that we do to help women entrepreneurs launch and scale businesses. And I think that one of the things that we try to do is the enthusiasm factor could sometimes work against you, right?
Which is curious.
It is a curious thing because we are often so, you know, entrepreneurs set out to fill a need in a community. And it's when you have that epiphany and that light bulb goes off and you're so excited that you came up with this fabulous idea. But then you have to sit down and put pen to paper and your numbers have to make sense. And so oftentimes what we find with our clients is that understanding what projections, what financial projections really mean, can also become overenthusiastic. And then you're telling a false narrative about your business.
Such as the lady that you told me about who had put, was it two chairs down on her projections and then bought one, or was it the opposite?
No, you got it. Yeah, they put two chairs down in the narrative, but only one chair down in the budget, right?
And that, of course, waves. Now, it's only a tiny amount, I'm sure. And this was it wasn't any old chair. It was a dentist's chair.
Oh, the dentist's chair. Yeah.
And the reason that she wanted a second chair was that she could double or treble her turnover and all good things. But it has to actually add up because it's a red flag.
Exactly.
To anybody running through the numbers saying, hang on, she hasn't done her numbers correctly.
Right, exactly. And projections, you know, are estimates. They are not real. But when you're talking to an investor, you think oftentimes that by putting down bigger numbers, you are showing that you're going to do this big business. But if your numbers don't make sense, that is the biggest red flag. It indicates that you really don't know about your business and you really don't know the numbers. And it could be something so minute as a chair, but it's immediately a red flag for an investor.
And therefore, questions are asked.
Yes.
Another one that you, again, it makes sense. You're a sole trader, small trader, tiny business, and you can only think of today. You haven't got the bandwidth, possibly not even the vision. It's a bit like the women you were talking about who go into childcare. Mm-hmm. They didn't start off with a long plan. You say that's a mistake.
Yeah. Well, I would say it depends on the industry for sure. But yes, articulating a vision about your business, oftentimes, especially with women, we find that they are usually dancing as fast as they can, right? They're the chief cook and bottle washer. They've got a million things going on, not only in the business, but also on the personal side. We know that the majority of women are caretakers for children, for elderly parents, and especially in the world that we're living in right now. And so oftentimes we can't really think long term. One of the things that we're trying to do, because we see it so often, is get folks to focus on their vision rather than on the immediate need. So an example would be, you know, I use the example of a massage therapist who, talking about software earlier, doesn't have the right industry-specific software to track her clientele, which is a business development tool. She's focused on, she doesn't have chairs in the lobby, in the waiting area, the reception area. But if you had the software, you have the ability to think further down the line, think about business development, which is going to help your overall vision for your business, not day to day, but how are you going to scale? How are you going to grow? And how are you going to secure your economic future?
And how do you teach people to start thinking like that?
It's a lot of coaching. So our business advisors, many of them are also coaches. They have the experience of, we're not going to tell people what to do.
Correct.
We are not going to tell them how to do it. We are going to give them the tools that they need so that they can see their pathway. And with that comes a lot of support, a lot of encouragement, a lot of resources, and a lot of tools that we make available. But I think the encouragement piece is the biggest, I would say, confidence booster, morale booster, knowing that they have someone that they can call any day that is going to, if not pick up the phone, schedule a time to speak with them and help get them over that hump. That's a lot. It's a big piece of what we do.
We're trying to get, as part of Beachhead USA, Irish companies to come and base themselves in Connecticut. And of course, there have been Irish success stories, women-led companies like Nuritas that have come here. What would you say to women-led, particularly on this section, companies coming to Connecticut? What would you like them to do? What can you do for them? Any tips?
Sure.
Don't do's, do's, whichever.
Well, first I would say that Connecticut is probably one of the most progressive states in the country for women. We have...
Have you got rid of that thing about having to sign for a
loan? That's 35 years ago. Now we can get bank loans. And that's one of the things that we can help women do, you know, prepare their financials, help them with their pro forma, help them with not just the financial side of their business, but we have marketing experts, we have finance experts, we have, you know, we'll drill down and have social media experts. We will help you teach you how to write a press release for your business, in addition to creating, helping you to create the overall marketing strategy for your business. More importantly is that the organization that we've run to help women entrepreneurs is a highly trusted and respected brand in our state, which is very exciting for women. So there's a lot of opportunity here to get engaged and involved. I think from our Department of Agriculture to our Economic Development Office to our Manufacturing Office, there are initiatives internally for everything from increasing the number of women farmers, making sure that they have the resources that they need. One of our clients is actually a flower farmer. We just helped her buy new equipment, new refrigerators. Manufacturing, there are all kinds of incentives for female manufacturers. And then again, overarching business education, training, and access to resources. So we are ready, willing, and able to help and support any women from Ireland to come over and get engaged and involved. We look forward to hearing from them.
And a perfect segue into what we always ask our as a final question of our guests. Who would Fran Pastore hire in a heartbeat?
The first person that comes to mind is Eleanor Roosevelt. She is one of my personal heroes. The reason being is that she was the woman behind the man. And in a time when women were regarded as, you know, to be seen and not heard, she was very much heard. And she remains an icon today in American society. And I love reading about her and her books and her letters that she wrote. I would also hire Madonna in a minute because she is just the queen of reinvention. And I use the term reinvention because women entrepreneurs and all entrepreneurs, the most successful ones, are nimble and reinvent themselves all the time. Her ability to do that and change as the world changed and as culture changed and still remain an icon decade after decade, she is a phenomenal woman. And her philanthropy and her commitments to our society are enviable.
We normally tag your hires in a heartbeat. I wonder, is she on LinkedIn?
I don't know if Madonna's on LinkedIn, but I bet she's on it. I know she's on Instagram because I follow her. Can I give you one more?
Please do. Please.
So in the end, the woman who I am admiring, she's, you know, I've always admired Madonna and Eleanor Roosevelt, but Diane von Furstenberg. This is a woman who was born months after her mother was liberated from concentration camps. And from a very early age, she knew that in order to be independent, she wanted to be what she calls and refers to herself as a woman in charge. And she credits her ability to be a woman in charge to having one idea, and that was the simple little wrap dress that she is known for around the globe. And I had the honor of meeting her last year. She came to Connecticut, and we had the honor to get together and talk to her. And she's just an inspiration for women entrepreneurs who have that one nugget of an idea and create a life out of it.
Is she for hire?
I don't know if she wants to be for hire. I've tried.
Fran Pastore, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Connell, for having us. And we welcome all entrepreneurs from Ireland here in Connecticut.
If it's for sale, it's on daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Whether you're looking for your first home or planning your next move, make sure you're on daft.ie, the best place to buy or sell in Ireland.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go at Chrissy Gno on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That Great Business Show.
And that's it from That Great Business Show, episode 169. Great business insights and inspiration, as well as Madonna. All thanks to our lovely sponsor, daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. If you're looking for your first home, or maybe you're looking to upsize or downsize, make sure to visit daft.ie to find that next place you call home. Sign up for email updates and we will send you your own personal copy of the podcast if you sign up at greatbusinessshow.com. Share, like, and give us 5-star reviews because it all helps. Advertise with us on That Great Business Show to engage with our incredible audience. We record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where today's studio engineer is Alison O'Dwyer. Later, the dynamic duo of studio manager Peter Rice and post-production engineer Neil Horner ensure we remain the world's best-sounding business podcast. So from me, Conall O'Moran, buíochas to you all, agus slán tamall.